I'm Philip McVeigh, and I'm here with Ron and Robin Garriga. They're the directors of our generosity campaign, Will You Grow? And each week we've been taking the words one at a time, will, and then you. And today we're focusing on the word grow. When you hear the word grow, what do you think of with what we're asking the congregation to do?
My first thought is a little bitty seed being put into the ground and just sprouting up and growing into a big bean vine, kind of multiplying.
You're so creative, Robin. I didn't have that vision at all, by the way.
What's your vision?
My vision was a stepping stool and watching yourself grow as you, not grow, but grow. That's what I was thinking.
Well, I'm hearing pretty clear that you're thinking it's not remaining where you are. Mm-hmm. It's about doing something different. Say a word about, if you could invite the congregation to grow, what would you want them to do differently?
I think we all have our own financial ability. We all know what we receive. And I would just like to challenge our church family to see where they can take it up to the next level of what they would like to give back to the church, give to God. We talked about last week of how the sacrifices God made for us. Well, when you freely give and you grow abundantly, your life grows abundantly. Things just flow better. Things just work better. The dots connect better. So I know that in our life, as we have tried to grow, we've always felt really good about that. And our lives just tend to want to be better.
Well, as you think about the congregation, and we thank you so much for being our directors for this generosity campaign. I heard you say in the opening week of introduction that you were excited about what was going on in the church.
Absolutely.
And if we all grow together, God gives us a vision of flourishing, of abundance. What does that mean to you as you look at our church?
For me, my example of growing was planting the seeds, and I'm thinking about a tree. And you know, when it's young and you water it or you feed it or you contribute to it, the roots are going to grow stronger and stronger and spread out. And so I'm thinking that as our generosity grows with our giving to our church, we're going to be stronger and stronger and more of a beacon to our community.
Yeah, that's well said, Robin. I think that for me, in growing, it would be the joy that we do receive from that growing to that next step. I think that when we look at our church family and we see what we are accomplishing already, I mean, we have a very prosperous church, but we want to do more. We want to give more. We want this corner to, like Robin just said, a beacon. We want this to just shine. We want a light to shine throughout this community about what great things are happening here at Shalimar United Methodist Church. And that takes resources. And what a great way to see your resources being used than amongst those who need it.
Right, right. Well, thank you for challenging us with these three words. Will you grow? And I want to thank Ron and Robin again. Ron, it's your birthday.
It is. Today is Ron Garriga Day.
And that tells me that you're taking this very serious, that you want to see this church grow. You want to see us all individually take a step of growth. Thank you so much for that. And let's end with that phrase we've used the previous weeks.
Will you grow with us?
Faith Perry, the Connection Pastor. Am I good? Okay, awesome. I'm not, the other room I was really loud this morning. I don't feel really loud. Maybe that's a good thing for you. So I want to introduce once again Robin Garriga, who is going to share some information with you this morning. Inside your worship guide, you have an insert that looks like this picture right here. And Robin is going to explain it to you. Thank you, Robin, for walking with us on the Will You Grow series.
Absolutely.
So let you explain. Take it away.
So everybody, get your worship guide out, dig it out from under your seat, wherever you put it, and find the little card that looks like this. At the end of your rows, there are cups that have pens and pencils. I need you to get a pen or a pencil and pass the cup down to your neighbor. Some of you guys might have to share. What we want to talk about is how our congregation can grow, and I'm going to help you by filling in our chart on where our congregation is currently standing at giving. On the chart, everybody got their little chart and their pen and their pencil? If you need one, our ushers can probably get you one. Need one over here, please. Thank you. Keep your hand up. Okay, at the bottom of the step, I'm going to just let y'all look up there on your own. The very first step is where the majority of our households at Shalimar are sitting. And it is between just giving a cent to $25 a month or giving nothing to $300 annually. We have, and this is where you're going to need your pencil, on that step, 183 households that are on that step. Our next step, which is $25 to $60 monthly that some of you are giving, or $300 to $719 annually, we have 86 households at our church that are on that step. The next step, number three, $60 to $100 a week, or $720 to $1,200 annually. We have 58 homes who are on this step with their giving already. The one, two, three, fourth step, $100 to $150 per month, or $1,200 to $1,800 annually. We have 48 households. Now there should be filling in behind me because, yeah, good. And I think you can read that writing. The next step, $150 to $200 per month, $1,800 to $2,400 annually. We have 36 households. Let's keep climbing. $200 to $250 a month, $2,400 to 3,000 annually, 34 households. The numbers are, you know, they're pretty close, 48, 36, 34. They are getting smaller. 250 to 300 per month, or 3,000 to 3,600 annually. We have 28 households that are already committed at this level. 300 to 400 per month, or 3,600 to 4,800 annually, there are 35 households giving at this level. Our next step, 400 to 850 per month, or 4,800 to 10,200 annually, we have 77 homes or households that are giving at this level. The next step up is 850 to 1,250 per month, or 10,200 to 15,000 annually. We have 9 households in our church family that give at this level. And the next step is where those people can potentially grow. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what step you're on. If you're on the first step, and you may not even be able to go to a whole nother step with your giving. The song said all we need is God, and all we need is God. If we are faithful to Him and are giving to Him the best that we have, He will reward us in ways that we can't even think of. And so we'd love for you to be able to jump two or three steps, but if you can't even jump a step, if you can just grow, that's what we want from you for the next year in giving, is a commitment to grow with us. Have a little quote. It's not biblical, but Winston Churchill, he's pretty, you know, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And I think that is so true. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Ron's going to come share our scripture, and I'm super excited about the scripture. You excited?
I'm very excited. Awesome. I read this, and I'm a passionate person.
You are, Ron.
And this fired me up.
Good. All right, well, share it with us so we can get ready. I'm ready.
All right, well, real quick, let me ask, who's happy to be at your Sabbath, your day of rest? You've worked hard. You've earned this day, right? God said this is your day. I want to flip the script. Okay, I don't want you to think of today as a day to rest from last week, but a day to energize for next week. Okay, and as you hear this word, I want you to let this word fill your spirit. I want it to energize you. I want you to think about how these words, the truth in these words, can energize you in your Sabbath for the coming week for the Lord. From Psalm 92, 1 through 15. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-stringed instrument, a harp, and the melody of a lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. Oh, Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this, though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish. They will be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. But you have made me as strong as a wild ox. You have anointed me with the finest oils. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." Will you join me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this day of Sabbath. And we thank you for giving us these words that give us hope and encourage us and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Now help us open our hearts and listen to Pastor Faith. And help give us guidance leading into this week so that we can do your work coming out of this beautiful Sabbath. We pray this in your beautiful name. And all God's people said,
thank you, Ron. Well, it is good to be with you all this morning. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I preached at 9:30. And I left 9:30 service, and I did not have this feeling that I normally have of leaving and just feeling content. And I don't know why, but I sat here and just caught up in the wonderful service, and I just feeling the presence of God with me, and it hit me that I don't think that it was what I needed to say, and it's more about me, and I'll tell you why. Today's Veterans Day, and yesterday I helped lay a veteran to rest. I volunteer with a unit out of Crestview, and I help serve the soldiers there and help serve their families. And we had a soldier that we had to give up to our Lord yesterday. And I've spent all morning trying to put that aside And I realize that I don't put that aside. That's part of who I am. That's part of what we do. And it's part of what God has taught me my entire life. So I want to give you a warning, and I'm sorry to my wonderful technology people, but I'm not exactly going according to script. So be forewarned. But I feel like for whatever reason, I wasn't connecting the two, because part of that is my growth. And this morning we're talking about growth. And I, as a Christian, have grown over my life to meld every aspect of my life of who I am as a Christian. When I go and serve those soldiers, I am a witness of God there. When I am here in front of you, I am a witness of God here. When I go to the grocery store, I am a witness of God. Everywhere I go in my life, I am who I am. And last night, I hosted some of those soldiers in my home to give them a place to process after the service. And we sat there and had conversations of faith right there. We talked about what it means to live our lives as people of faith in the aftermath of a tragedy. And that's what it means for us to grow in our faith. And this whole series is about us growing in our faith. And the reason I talk about that is because although this is a stewardship series, it starts with our faith. And the reason I can do the things that I can do is because I put God at the center of it. And that is what my husband AJ and I have done for all the years of our marriage, is God is in the center. And I'm blessed because I'm married to a man who has a loving and giving heart. I've shared with you guys that early on in our marriage, we had very little money. But God always took care of us. And one day, AJ came home from the grocery store, and he said, he was sent to get the groceries. And he looked at me, he said, "Faith, I saw one of our seminary friends at the store, and he was taking stuff off of the conveyor belt because he didn't have enough money to pay for his groceries. And I paid for his groceries." And I looked at him, I said, "AJ, how are we going to pay for our groceries?" He said, "I don't know. We'll figure it out." And it's the loving and giving heart of God, where we trust God when he says you need to do something for others because we're people of God. That's our growth. That's what drives us as people of God. Not people that say that person needs something, but I need things too. And if you're with me last week, I talked about the nerds and the free spirits, and I'm more of the nerd and he's more of the free spirit. But I'm thankful for that, because he's not always focused on the numbers, and he has moments like that. And he doesn't let me get bogged into the numbers. And we stay focused. And I have grown through that, through the free spiritness of him. I've grown through our conversations and my reliance on God, and had to say, "God, I need to trust you no matter what I do. I need to be what I am no matter where I am, and I need to put my finances in your hands." So this morning, as we look at this scripture, I'm going to do my best to unpack it in a sense that I now have no idea where I'm going. And Aiden, if you can figure out where I am and throw a slide, then kudos to you. But I don't expect you to. But this passage is a beautiful passage, because it's about us praising God because he is good and he is faithful and he takes care of us. No matter what happens in life, when life is good and life is bad. And yesterday was a day of both for me, because I got to see the good and the bad as I watched these brothers surround each other and support one another for one of their own. And that's exactly what Veterans Day is about. But that's also what the people of God are about. And that's what we do, is we support one another, and we support people that aren't even a part of us yet. So this passage, it talks about that we praise God, and we praise God every day. Every day. And I love it because it's got this tone in it. And Ron, you did such a beautiful job reading it. But it's got this tone of so much emotion that it can't be contained in the passage. You thrill me, God. And we give because God thrills us. God takes care of us and looks after us and is good and powerful and wonderful. And we cannot see the end of God's goodness. We don't give because we have to. We don't give because somebody told us to, but because God impacts us in a way that we can't imagine. We don't give because the Bible says you have to give to God as a first fruit. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. We don't give because that's what the Bible says you have to do and it's an obligation. We give because when you give to God first, everything else seems to fall in line. Because God has a plan and a purpose and he takes care of his children. And the psalmist just seems to be overwhelmed by who God is. I mean, singing for joy, that's what we've been doing all morning. But he goes on, and you got to love verse 6. I mean, verse 6 just cracks me up. Only a simpleton would not know. Right? Like, you don't get it. It's like saying, obviously you know how good God is. Obviously you know how wonderful and perfect and mighty he is. If you don't know, then you might not be too bright. What he's trying to say is use your brain. Think. Realize that God is looking after you. Realize that God cares. And at the same time, when we're talking about the giving aspect, don't check your brain at the door. I mean, you all have a brain, right? We don't have any, what is it, the tin man that didn't have a brain? Scarecrow. Tin man doesn't have a heart, so scarecrow. So we don't have any. The lion didn't have a heart? Apparently, I need to watch Wizard of Oz. See, I told you I was winging it. All right, so, you know, if we have a brain, God gave us a brain to use. We're supposed to use it to make good use of the things we have. And if God gives us resources, like financial resources, we're supposed to use them well. I'll never forget the first time I got a checking account. I was like 16, and I bounced a check. It was a gas station for like $2. And then I had to pay the like $20 check bouncing fee. And my dad's like, that was the most expensive Coke you'll ever buy. And I just couldn't believe that I bounced a $2 check. My dad couldn't believe I wrote a $2 check. But, you know, I learned a lesson that money just doesn't pop up, right? I got to have the money in the checking account to write my check. And God teaches trying to tell us that we got to use the money we have responsibly. And we got to use our brains to do that. We got to be numbers people. And if you're not a numbers person, then make sure you have someone around that can help you. If we can't all be free spirits because otherwise we'll be in trouble accounting wise. But if you put God at the beginning of your numbers, then your numbers seem to work out better. Because if you wait to put him at the end, you're not going to have enough money. It always turns out that way. There's never enough at the end. That's why the bills have to be paid first. If we use our brains in that, but we got to also put faith in it too. We got to trust. I had to trust when AJ came home that day from the grocery store that I was going to have food at the end of the month. And I had to trust that God prompted my husband to do that. That it wasn't just spontaneous, that the Spirit was working and that he was going to take care of us. And I guarantee you, God always took care of us. We had some really spontaneous things happen when we thought we had no way to pay for things. And God always found a way to make sure our bills were paid in school. And I believe that was because not only was God at the center of our finances, he was the center of our life. I was in school because God told me to be. Because I was studying for the vocation he told me to study for. For a life dedicated for him because that's what he told me to do. So he made sure I survived that life. And he always found a way for the basics to be met. We had a truck that had 250,000 miles on it. It was a rust bucket. Every time I hit a bump, I prayed nothing broke. No lie. I was driving down the road one day and I hit the brakes and there was no brake. The brake line just rusted through. They literally said that the rust was holding the truck together. But it drove, and it worked, and it got us where we needed to go. And God kept us safe. When He's at the center of everything, we can make it through no matter what happens in our life. But we have to keep moving. Just like the video talked about, Ron and Robin talked about, our spiritual life has to progress. Friends, we as a church have had an amazing year. I don't know if you've realized, but it's been an amazing year. We started this year off with 21 days of worship, prayer, and fasting. We're going to do it again, by the way. Get ready. We're going to do it again in January. I'm so excited. It's going to be amazing. But I believe that Pastor Phillip's vision to start our year off with 21 days of prayer and fasting and worship to God set us on a momentum for God that allowed this Spirit to move. Our baptisms and professions of faith are higher this year than they've been in years. We have had 31 people baptized this year. 31! In addition to that, 18 more people reaffirmed their baptism and still went into the water. That's 49 people this year that went into the water saying, I want to tell the world that God matters to me. 49 people! And just imagine in 2 weeks, we're going to have a baptism weekend. We're going to have a baptism tank either there or there. We want it there. But I don't know if they're going to let me put it there, but it's going to be somewhere. We're going to have a baptism tank, and we're going to dunk people in this room. And that number is going to go up. Right? Now, if you want to talk about what's going to make me excited, I want to dunk people. And you can even get my hair messed up. I don't care. Because we're going to tell people that we believe in Jesus, and we're excited, and that happens because of God. And that happens because God's the center of our lives, and people see it, and things happen because God is moving, and it starts with us. This series is about us, remember? It's not about anybody else. It's about where we are. And when we put God in the center, amazing things happen. I hope you're going to go on that journey with me because I'm excited for next year. If this year has been like this, can you just imagine? We're going to be unstoppable. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to worship. And then the whole year is going to be wide open. I'm trying to buy a dunk tank, by the way. Maybe we can just make it a permanent fixture. We'll get a jacuzzi. Yeah? The students, I'll walk in on Sunday night, and I'll see Gavin just hanging out in the jacuzzi. We're intentionally ending the service today without music. Because next week, you're going to come back and we're going to give God our commitments for next year. And we wanted you to leave just thinking about these words. Not anything else. Not with the last song. But with the thought of what is God going to do in our future and what are you going to give to Him? If you've never committed to God, figure out what you can do. Can you give Him $5? That's one Starbucks a month. I love my coffee. But I can commit a $5 more than I'm doing. I can give up a coffee. I've committed to not change my commitment, and that's a big deal for us because our income's going down because AJ's going to school next year. We're going back into that life, and we're going to trust that God's going to take care of us by keeping ourselves where we are, even though our income will change. It's trust. I need you guys to say that next week you're going to come back and we're going to worship our hearts out. And we're going to praise God for whatever is made as a commitment. And we're all going to come and kneel at these altars. And we're going to give God everything. So
So go home and pray and think. If you didn't get a toolkit in the mail, there's all sorts of stuff in here about what you can pray about and consider. It's going to be online, so go online and look at all the resources. But come back and join me next week. Will you join me in prayer? Father, I am so overwhelmed by all that you do in this church. And blessed that I get to be a part of it. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for our servicemen and women. I want to thank you for the blessing that I got to be a part of the service yesterday and the overwhelmingness of watching those brothers and sisters in arms. As we leave this place today, send us into our homes and to our friends' circles. Send us into our quiet spaces so that we know where you're leading us into the next year and how we return here next week so that we can honor and glorify you and we can come to these altars and we can lay it all at your feet. If we need to be baptized, Lord, or reaffirm our baptism the following week, you put that on our hearts too so that we can celebrate it all as a church. Because we just want to follow you and follow your guidance in our lives and do all these things in your name. We pray these things in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll be down front if anyone has any questions. If you want to be baptized, come talk to me.